evening, if you want to turn to 1 Chronicles 23. Starting there this evening. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Finish out 1 Chronicles this evening. Hopefully, it shouldn't take us very long. 7 chapters here. Israel has given rest unto his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. A couple of things out of that verse. First of all, notice that he gives credit to God for giving them rest. Very common with people to give themselves credit for these things. We fought, we won, we did this, we did that. But David says, the Lord has given rest. He didn't take credit for it. Even though everyone else might have described these things to David as though he had done this, but he said, no, it's the Lord who has given us rest. And notice what he says, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. That was God's promise to them, that they could dwell there forever, that that could be their promised land, that they could have that for all generations. That they could continue to live there generation after generation. Never to have to give that up. David is obedient and lost out on that. If you notice the wording there, that they may dwell there forever. It doesn't say they will, it says they may. God gave them the land and gave them rest and said they may dwell there. But, of course, they didn't know the story of how they were disobedient to God and turned from following Him to following after idols. Chapter 24, then, verse 31. This verse might seem completely insignificant to you, but I think it does point out something to us. We learned it. The rest of them just said the third of this verse and the fourth of this verse. This is a lot of people tell us a lot. But notice what he says in verse 31. These likewise cast lot over against their brethren, the sons of Aaron, in the presence of David the king, and Zadok and Ahimelech, and the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, even the principal fathers over against their younger brethren. In other words, what happened was this group of individuals of this particular tribe, Levi, had certain things that they were supposed to do, and in essence, what the Bible teaches us here is God wanted it done, but He didn't really care who did it or which order it was done in, and so they just gave it a chance. There are some things that need to be done, but it's not specified who has to do it. And it can be left up to anybody, and we can just leave some things to chance, so to speak. And that's what they did here when they cast lots. So they pretty much drew straws to see, well, who goes the first month, and who takes care of the second month, and so forth. We might do something like that. For example, with our cleanup list for the building, we give people the opportunity to sign up for whichever month they want. But some churches, they just randomly put the families on there, and they say, oh, there it is, that's your month. They just picked it. They didn't even allow the people to make that choice. But there are some things, in order to be done, needs to be done. But it's not so important that God's going to make the decision as to who does it when or anything like that. There are other things, of course, that were much more important, and God specifies specific people to do a specific task. Notice that they didn't draw lots to see who got to be the high priest. No, God chose Aaron and said he's the high priest. He's the one that's going to do that. His descendants, they're the ones that do that, not just anybody. But here, they just needed to have their jobs proceeded in order, in a particular order, so that it would be reasonably done. same kind of terminology is used then in chapter 25, verse number 8. It says that they cast lots, board against board as well, the small as the great, the teacher as the scholar. This one tells us that there are some things that everyone has to participate on in equal footing. They didn't let certain people skip out on this particular job because they were too old or too young, or because, well, this person is too important to have to do this task, or this person is too insignificant to be trusted with this task. He says the small as well as the great, the teacher as well as the scholar, everybody had to do this thing, and it was they cast lots to decide it. We'll look up to chapter 25 and verse 1. We see also there it says, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Jusuf, who should prophesy with harp, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and that the number of the workmen according to their service was always. You'll notice in the book of Psalms that many of the Psalms make reference to this person, Asaph. The Psalms were written for Asaph, or by Asaph, whatever. These were the, what you might call the temple singers, or the temple players, you might say, because they both sang and played instruments. And what we need to understand is that this was not something that was against God's will. I've seen people, I've seen church trying to ordain this sign and crucifix and trying to show that, oh, instrumental music was not okay even back in the Old Testament time. Or long back then. I don't think that's a very proper way of interpreting Amos chapter 9, verse 6. The problem there was the selfishness and the abuse of those things, and not just the use of it. But what we have here is David separating out certain people the harp, certain with psalteries, certain with the cymbals, and they each had their that they did in that temple worship. What we have to understand is that even though that may have been authorized in the Old Testament, it doesn't matter for us today. Just because it was okay back then doesn't make it okay now. And even though David authorized this as the king and set this up, that doesn't mean it would be okay for us to set it up today and to have those things today, even though we may have had the right to do that. And I was looking for a verse. I'm going to have to try to find my note. A lecture that I attended where the teacher that gave the lecture actually gave reference to a scripture in the Old Testament that told that God had commanded David to make these instruments and to use the instruments in the temple worship. I could not find that, but I lost that reference somewhere, and I was hoping to have that stood there as a cross reference. If I can find it, maybe next week I can hold that verse. Let's look then to chapter 26. Chapter 26, we want to look down to verse number 10. Verse 10 says, also, Hosea of the children of Merari had sons, Zimri the chief. For though he was not the firstborn, yet his father made him the chief. This tells us something. Even though during the Old Testament times they had this concept of the birthright, the firstborn getting a special treatment because they were firstborn, it shows us that that firstborn didn't live up to expectations, father would just take that away and give it to somebody else. And here we have Hosea, who had sons, and I don't know who his firstborn son was, but it says he made Zimri the chief. Even though Zimri wasn't the firstborn son, he put him in the place of the firstborn. I don't know if there was some specific thing that firstborn son had done. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we need to understand the same thing applies to us in the kingdom of God. Our birthplace can be, our birthright can be lost you don't live up to it. You've got to live in accordance to keep that birthright. Just like Esau lost his birthright, sold it for a pot of soup. For a bowl, really, not even the whole pot.
Left them in charge, told them, you take care of these things.
so here they were. Well, look what happened. Verse 1, there's a problem. People aren't being taken care of like they're supposed to. Some of the widows are complaining, hey, we didn't get taken care of like we were supposed to. The church was supposed to take care of these things, and they didn't do it. So verse 2, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles, just like David, understood the importance of humility. So no one and particularly in a church that grows large. In a little church of five people, well, yeah, one person probably pretty much take care of everything that needs to be done. You start talking about Jerusalem. They had over 5,000 people in the church in Jerusalem. 6,000 people. No way one person will take care of that. No, you're going to have to bring it in. You're going to have to delegate to some other people to do certain tasks so that things will get accomplished. And notice what the apostle said. It's not a good idea, and this is what they said for us, to leave preaching the word and teaching the word to go hand out the food every day. Something in this is that it's just not a good idea for us to do that. So if you pick out some people that you know are honest, you know are capable, that can take care of that task, and we'll keep on doing what we're supposed to do. And so the same thing with David. David kept on being king. And he let other people take care of another task. We might think of that in the church today. The elders, if they spend all their time, and again, particularly the larger a congregation gets, the more this becomes true. The elders are supposed to shepherd the flock. The bishops, the elders, the shepherds of the flock. They're supposed to, the Bible says they are there to watch for your souls. Well, watching for your soul doesn't often include taking care of mowing the grass and changing the light bulbs and all that. Those are things that have to be done. Those are things that need to be done. Keeping the books. Counting the money. Those things aren't all involved in watching for your souls. And so elders often have to appoint and should. To appoint certain tasks to certain other individuals in the church so that those individuals can take care of the, what we might say, the mundane things of life, the physical needs, so that the elders then are going to take care of the spiritual needs of the church. And so that concept is throughout the Bible. It's those in the flock, he appointed others to take care of certain matters. Here, David, we see doing the same thing. In the next day. There's certainly biblical precedent for the elders to appoint deacons, or for that matter, to hire a preacher or someone to take care of a particular task, do certain things, so that they themselves won't get bogged down in trying to take care of those things and make a few free to do more important things, or not necessarily always more important, but just to be able to do other things that they have to. Then in chapter 28, I want to look down to verse 20. Verse 20 of 1 Chronicles 28 says, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. For one verse, this verse is just full. This verse is overflowing with good information. This verse says, be strong and of good courage. Sometimes, we don't have the courage that we need. We know what's right. We know what needs to be done and needs to be said, but find ourselves weak at the wrong times, or timid, or even cowardly at the wrong times. But David tells us to be strong and of good courage. And then he says, and do it. There are tasks that need to be done, and we need to just get out there and do it. Sometimes churches get bogged down in talking about what needs to be done, and Terminology that's maybe our society. glorify Him. If you're not using it to glorify Him, you're in danger. Yourself.